Welcome back to another episode of Success in Mind. Today, we're going to talk about setbacks and recovery from setbacks. Whether you are in business or not, in every area of life, you are going to face setbacks at some point or another, and how you recover from those setbacks is going to determine what you do next. So you need to have a recovery strategy. And that's what we're talking about today. You're listening to Success in Mind, the show for high-performing leaders, changemakers, and entrepreneurs ready to take your life and business to the next level. If you're ready for whole life success, keep listening. Okay, so how do you recover from a setback? Now, whether this is business, in your relationships, in your health, in finances, no matter what, as long as you are working towards something, you will always face challenges and setbacks. The easy thing is to quit and say, forget that. I'm no good at it. I suck. I'm terrible. And I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing before. That's the easy thing. That might also be the tempting thing to do. But I don't think that's the most satisfying thing to do. I really don't. I don't think that anyone wants to reach the end of your life and say, man, I wish I didn't quit. I wish I didn't give up on my big dreams. I wish I didn't give up on that business before I even gave it a chance to start. I don't think anyone gets to the end of life and says, man, I am so glad that I gave up on my goals. I'm so glad I didn't accomplish the big things that I set out to accomplish. I'm so glad I quit all those times that I gave up on myself. I'm so grateful that I did that. I doubt it. I really doubt it. So how do we then recover from a setback? Well, it takes some self-reflection for one. So when a setback happens, and by the way, I am saying all this because I had to learn it. I used to quit. I was really good at quitting from setbacks. Like something would go wrong and I would say, this is not for me. I can't do it. Nope. And I was done. I don't do more because I've learned how to recover from a setback. You need to have a recovery strategy because sometimes things just don't go your way. And how do you recover from it? Okay. So first thing is you need some self-reflection. You need to be able to look at the situation and assess, where did things go wrong? And not from the perspective of beating yourself up. This is not about beating yourself up. None of that is helpful. This is about taking a step back, looking at it objectively and saying, okay, where did things go wrong? What can I learn from this experience? You see, I fully believe there is no such thing as failure. There is only feedback. So by self-reflection, this is where we can get the feedback. What didn't work? I tried this thing and it didn't work. And this could be, you know, whether you're training for a marathon or you're speaking on stage, starting a podcast, sales and business aren't going the way you want, whatever area of life you want to apply this to. Where did it go off the tracks? Because then maybe next time, with as long as you can acknowledge that and you learn from it, the next time, if things start to go sideways again, you can catch it earlier on. You identify the signs that say, things are going a little bit off track. Now, what can we do to get back on track quickly so you don't spend a lot of time going down the wrong path again? So it takes a little self-reflection, looking at what didn't work. Also look at what did work, because I guarantee something was still working. So what was working, what wasn't working, and where did it start? If you can backtrack it, where did things begin to go wrong? So take some time to reflect on it. And then we need some coping strategies. So my second point is you need to have some coping strategies in play. So what are some resources that you have available to you that can help you during challenging times, during a setback? So this could be having a support network. People who you're close to, who you can rely on, that if you're having a difficult time, will help build you back up. Those might be your friends. That could be a coach. Listen, there are many times in my life where I have felt like my coach, the person I'm paying for support, is the only person I have to really lean on who really understands what I'm feeling and going through in those moments. I've even said to my coaches in the past, I feel like you're my only friend right now, and I'm paying you. And you know what my coach said to me? He said, Terry, I know exactly how you feel. I have said those words to my coach, and one day one of your clients is going to say that to you too. And it's happened. So sometimes your coach, the person you're paying to help you, is the one you need to lean on. And in fact, they should be the one to lean on because they actually have tools and resources to help you with it. But it could also just be your close friends or family members. Seeking other help, counseling, for example, a great way to get support when you need it to help you recover from a setback. And then practicing things like self-care, meditation, exercise. You know, I often say that I don't trust my brain on days where I have not moved my body. There's a reason for it. There's something really wonderful that happens. I know science can explain it to us, but it's not just the endorphins from exercise, but it's like the blood flow through your brain, getting your heart pumping and getting your blood flowing just helps to clean out all the stuff in our brains, the thoughts we don't want. It puts us in a better state of mind and creates a lot of clarity to be able to assess the situation with a new, fresh perspective. And I wish I could take credit for saying that. That actually comes from my husband. My husband always tells me, you know, if I'm feeling a bit down or frustrated, he's like, let's go out for a walk. Let's go to the gym. You need to get your heart pumping, your blood flowing, and that'll make everything feel a lot better. The man's smart. He knows things. So exercise, meditation. So get your blood flowing, get your mind into a better state. If you don't know how to meditate or if you feel like you're not very good at it, using an app like Aura is a great way to develop a meditation practice. You get guidance there. There's tons. And obviously, I mean, there are other apps too you can use. I'm partial to Aura. I'm on Aura as a creator. All of my hypnosis recordings are there. I have meditation tracks there. I go live on Aura twice a week to do a live either group talk or meditation. So obviously I'm biased to it, but there's also a reason I'm on Aura, and that's because I think it's a phenomenal app. So I recommend checking it out. If you want help with your meditation practice, I'm going to put a link in the show notes for a 30-day guest pass to Aura. So if you want that support, you want to develop more mindfulness practices, Aura is your place to go. There's over 30,000 tracks there. You're not going to get bored. Created by hundreds of the world's best coaches, best therapists. So really, you're in good hands. You're in great hands with Aura. So I'll put a 30-day guest pass in the show notes and you can try it out and, you know, listen to my hypnosis recordings. Also think about developing financial savings for emergencies. So if things go wrong, you know, have something. Create an emergency fund, because if things go wrong in your business, if things go wrong in your personal life, you might need some finances. You might need some financial support. Create a financial savings plan for those emergencies. If you are a business owner and you have not read the book Profit First, this is a book I recommend. I recommend all entrepreneurs read it. It really changed how I manage the finances of my business. It's a great system. It's super simple to follow. It makes sense. And it really is about keeping our nervous system calm around money. And the way it's set up is that you will have that emergency fund for your business. If you need it, there will always be money set aside. So next, okay, so we've reflected. We have some coping strategies. Create action plans. So number three, create your action plan. So based on your goals, which means you've set your goals, and based on your coping strategies, you need to develop an action plan for how are you going to respond and recover from a setback. So break down your plan into small steps that you can take towards your goals and that you can use to recover. You know, one of my coping strategies is, I'm trying to think if I've shared this before in the podcast or not. I'm not really sure if I have. But if I'm feeling like really down in my business, feeling like I can't do this, I'm not good at it, things aren't working the way I want, I have one person, well, two. I can always lean on my husband. But let's face it, if your spouse isn't an entrepreneur, sometimes they don't quite get it. As much as they love you and they support you, sometimes you need to talk to another entrepreneur who gets what it's like when there's no safety net, there's no salary for you, you have to generate your own income. And I go to my BFF Stefano for that. He knows that if I call him up and I say, I'm feeling really crappy right now, I feel like I can't do this anymore, remind me that I'm good at this. Remind me why I'm doing this. He will build me back up. He will talk me up until I am convinced. In fact, he will usually make it seem so ridiculous that I would even question quitting that I just feel like, well, that was silly. That was a waste of time. Even thinking that was a waste of time. So find yourself an entrepreneur buddy, someone who gets it that you can call up and say, hey, I'm having a rough day. I want to quit right now. Remind me why I do this. Remind me why I'm good at what I do. Someone who will talk you up. I started doing this because I remember one day I was telling my coach that I was ready to quit.
I was done.
And I was telling my coach about it that, you know, I just want to quit. I want to give up. And I can't do this anymore. And I was being really negative. I was really beating myself up for it. And my coach said, what do you really need right now? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you're beating yourself up pretty badly. And I think it's because you're looking for something you're not getting. So what need needs to be fulfilled right now? What is it you need? And I said, I think I need to be reminded that I'm good at what I do. And I need someone to tell me I'm good. And to encourage me to keep going, he said, okay, next time, instead of beating yourself up, why don't you just say, I need you to remind me I'm good at this and to tell me to keep going and just ask for what you need so that you don't beat yourself up first. And then he said, he's like, that could be me, that could be a friend, that could be your husband, but just, you know, ask for it. Instead of going through this and being so hard on yourself and punishing yourself, ask for what you need. So that's when I started doing that with Stefano. And I do talk to my husband about these things too, but I also always kind of feel like he's always my biggest cheerleader anyway. Even if I'm not good at something, he's going to tell me I'm great at it. He's always going to support me no matter what. Whereas Stefano, I think, would tell me if I did suck. So there's that. There's that. Plus, he's also an entrepreneur and he gets that part of it. So you need to have that action plan for the steps you're going to take. If something sets you back, what are your steps? Break it down into steps. So what do you do first? Do you, maybe for you, it's journaling. You sit down with your journal and you write out how you feel. Maybe you go for a walk. Then maybe you call your friend, your entrepreneur buddy, who's going to talk you up and remind you why you're doing what you do. What is it for you? It could be anything. Maybe you review your goals to remind yourself, why am I doing it? Where am I going? What's the plan? So give yourself those steps so that you know exactly what you do and write them out. Write out your steps. This is what I do first. This is what I do next. So that you have a clear recovery strategy. The next one is practice resilience. So you need to cultivate resilience because you need to build it up so that in those moments, you have resilience already working for you. When you are down in the dumps, that is not the time to start building your resilience. You want to build up your resilience before you need it. So work on cultivating a positive mindset, building up that positive mindset to learn to adapt to circumstances around you. Now, I know that that's easy to say. You know, think positively. And this is not about positive thinking and positive, you know, toxic positivity. I'm not talking about that. It's important that if things aren't going well, that we're able to recognize, okay, things aren't going well. Things are hard right now. And to allow yourself to feel that. But if you've been working on having a positive mindset, it will be easier for you to get out of those negative headspaces. And the purpose of it is not to squash your feelings or avoid feeling what you're feeling. The purpose of shifting your mindset is to become more resourceful. When you are in a negative headspace, you only see the problem. It's like, this is the problem. This is a problem. And it's like right in front of you. So all you can see is the problem. And for those listening on the audio podcast, you can't see it. But I'm putting a post-it note up to my face so that I can't see anything but the post-it note. It probably looks ridiculous, but that's all you see. Your head is buried in the problem and you can't see everything outside the problem. When you shift your mindset to a positive state, now you can see everything that's not the problem. And when you can see what's not the problem, now you can see solution, because the solution is not the problem. The problem's the problem. The solution is the not problem. When you can start to see the not problem, now you have resources and you can start planning and thinking and getting your way out of the problem. So that requires shifting your mental state. So this is not about burying your feelings, squishing them down, avoiding them, neglecting them. No, it's about being able to shift your state of mind to go, okay, this sucks. I'm in this problem, right? Again, I have my head in the problem. I can't see anything but the problem. This sucks. I can only see the problem. And the way out of that is to shift your state of mind so that you can see outside the problem. You can now see the not problem. You can see possible solutions to the problem. So we need to be able to develop that positive mindset. And that comes before you need it. So again, I'm going to go back to using apps like Aura, practicing meditation daily, maybe doing a daily gratitude practice where you write down the things you're grateful for in your life. You can do that with, you know, I usually say 3 things. You can do more. I know people do 10 things, 20 things, whatever, however many you want to write down, but take some time every day to reflect on what are you really grateful for. And it could be small. Sometimes people think when they're doing a gratitude practice, they have to be grateful for like all these big things, and maybe they don't feel like they have those right now. But can you be grateful that the sun came up this morning? Can you be grateful that, you know, the rain last night gave the plants the water they need? Grateful that the birds were chirping when you woke up? Whatever. It doesn't have to be monumental. The practice of gratitude is to simply connect that state of gratitude. And that will help cultivate a positive mindset. So practicing gratitude, meditating every day, setting goals, reviewing your goals on a daily basis, that's all going to help with a positive mindset. Also, be mindful of what it is that you're consuming. What kind of food are you eating? Are you exercising? We've talked about exercise already today and how exercise really helps improve clarity of thought and your mindset, how it helps to shift your state. So does food. If you're not eating enough healthy foods, that can affect your mindset. Now, I'm not, you know, I've done the whole dieting thing. I got into fitness competitions. I've been very extreme in my approach to food in the past. I refuse to do that anymore because I feel like I'm going off on a different tangent here. This is probably a topic more for my upcoming new podcast, What the Poop. But I'm just going to say it now. I'm just going to say it. Food is spiritual, emotional, social, and physical. We can't neglect those areas. So sometimes we eat purely for fun, for pleasure, for enjoyment, because it's a spiritual practice, because it's social, because it feels good. But if most of the time, if you were eating foods that nourish your body and support your physical health, you'll be good. You'll be fine. So look at the foods you're eating. Are you eating enough of the things that are going to help you feel good and support your body? Because if you support your body, you're supporting your brain. If you support your brain, you're supporting your mind. And if you support your mind, you're supporting your mindset. So food plays a part in developing a positive mindset. And practice self-compassion. Be patient with yourself during times of a setback. Be patient. You know, it's not always like, there's not always a quick solution to a problem. And we've got to be patient with ourselves. Have some self-compassion. Give yourself grace. If you've been working really hard on something and you have a setback, well, give yourself some grace that you're human and you need some time to work through stuff too. You know, be careful that you don't allow yourself to get stuck in the muck of it all. But give yourself some compassion and some grace that you are a human and you need to work through stuff too, like anyone else. Next, review and update regularly. Review your recovery strategy. Make sure it's still relevant and still effective. Review your strategy if circumstances in life change, if there are new risks or there's new challenges you're facing that are different than what you faced before. Make sure you still have a strategy in place that works for you. And then practice self-care. Practice self-care that's going to help support your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being on a regular basis. Again, I'm going back to meditation and I'm going back to the Aura app. It's a great way to do it. Do you need an app to meditate? No. Is it a good one? Yes. This could also be making sure that you're sleeping well and practicing good sleep practices, that you're engaging in hobbies and activities that you enjoy that fill you up. I recently started playing with watercolors just for fun and enjoyment, and I love it. That is something that fills me up, in a different way than my business does. I am a Capricorn. For those of you who are into astrology, I am a Capricorn and I'm a Capricorn rising and I'm Capricorn in some of my other houses as well, or my other planets. I don't know all the terminology, but I have Capricorn all over my chart is what I'm saying. I am the mountain goat, continually climbing the mountains. I will work and work and work, and I need to do things intentionally that take me out of work and put me into a different environment, a different headspace. So I've taken up painting. I like to journal and write. Writing's tricky for me though, because often I'll start writing for my business. So writing is like 50-50. I read, and I'll often read business books. I'll read nonfiction. I'll read personal development. So to fill me up again in a different way, I will read fiction. Some fun rom-com fiction, and I love it and I enjoy it, and that fulfills me in a different way. I like to watch some trash TV once in a while. I watch Vanderpump Rules. I watch Below Deck. These are the shows that help me like just check out and unwind a bit. I don't watch them, I'm not watching them 24/7. I'm mindful of what I'm consuming mentally. But for a couple hours a week, I'm going to watch some fun TV and have a little bit of fun. And that helps just take care of me in a different way. So make sure that you're doing things that you enjoy and that you're setting boundaries to protect your time and energy. You know, part of self-care is saying no to things that don't work for you. Oh, I was at a conference last weekend where someone talked about saying yes and figure out the how later, which is great advice. Sometimes in life, sometimes that's great advice. If it's something you want to do and you feel like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to figure out how to do this, but I really want to do it, say yes and you'll figure it out. If you're overwhelmed and you don't have the capacity to do it, say no. There's a quote from Warren Buffett. I go back to it all the time. I'm paraphrasing it because it's not in front of me. But it was something along the lines of the difference between successful people and really successful people, really successful people say no to more things. I'm going to say that again so I don't mess it up this time. The difference between successful people and really successful people say no to more things. So say no to things. If you go back to the Bob Berg episode, the Go-Giver Way, he gave a great lesson in that episode about how to say no without burning bridges, without hurting the relationship. So if you need to, go back and listen to that episode anyway, because he's phenomenal. And there was so many good gems in that about setting boundaries, about saying no to things, and about being a giving person. So protect your time, protect your energy. So by creating a personal recovery strategy, and also preparing for setbacks before they even happen, you can navigate challenges, build your resilience, and you're going to come back a lot faster from a setback. Setbacks are just setbacks. They're not failures. It's not the end of life. And remember, failure is feedback. This is how we get the feedback to move us forward. And I feel like I can't talk about setbacks without referring to Walt Disney. Walt Disney got rejected 302 times for financing for Disneyland. 302 times. Imagine hearing no on your dream 302 times and you still come back again to get that final yes. Think about that for a moment. How many no's will you accept and keep going? So many people give up before before they even have a chance to win. Stop quitting before you give yourself a chance to win. You have to give yourself the chance. And by developing a clear recovery strategy, you're giving yourself a chance to win. I hope this was helpful today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did find it helpful, send it to a friend who you think can use it and leave your 5-star review. I'll be back again next week with another interview. Next week, I have Shayna Francesca joining us, and it's a powerful conversation about how we can create better connection and communication. We talk about ethical leadership, and she's just a phenomenal human being. So come back next Tuesday for that episode, and then I'll be back again on Thursday for a solo show. You know the drill. Every week, interview, solo show. I might start adding a third episode a week, but I'm not quite sure yet. We'll see. Anyway, hope you enjoyed this episode today. Hope you have a fantastic day, and I'll see you again next week. Bye for now, friends.